Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. I'd like to thank you for listening, whether you're listening online or on the radio. We really appreciate it. We've been getting a fantastic response. And today we have a fantastic show for you. It's even better than usual. We'll be chatting with legendary Los Angeles prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi about his latest book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. Please stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Vince. The underwriter of today's show is Oakland's Grand Lake Theater. This spectacular vintage movie palace is one of the last independent theaters in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake has been the venue for countless live political events during the last 8 years in constant opposition to the Bush administration and is famous for its politically charged marquee messages. It will be hosting several very special events in support of Cindy's Soapbox during the next few months. If you have never been to the Grand Lake, please patronize this beautiful theater and see a film there soon. If you have visited there before, please come back again. It is important to choose to support a unique theater like this instead of the soulless multiplex. The Grand Lake never shows commercials before the movie, and fresh popcorn with real butter is free every Monday through Thursday. On Friday and Saturday nights, the mighty Wurlitzer organ is played in the main auditorium. Schedule information can be found at GrandLakeTheater.com. That's GrandLakeTheater.com.
March 21st will be an International Day of Action on the 6th anniversary of the criminal invasion of Iraq. On Saturday, March 21st, we will gather at 11 a.m. at Embarcadero Plaza in San Francisco for a mass march and rally to say, "Occupation is a crime. Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine." Volunteers and donations are needed. Call the Answer Coalition at 415-821-6545. That's 415-821-6545. Or visit answercoalition.org.
A Nation Rocked to Sleep, written and read by Carly Sheehan. Have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? The torrential rains of a mother's weeping will never be done. They say he's a hero. You should be glad that he's won. But have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? He must be brave because his son died for another man's lies. The only grief he allows himself are long, deep sighs. Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? They say he died so the flag will continue to wave. But I believe he died because they had oil to save. Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep? The leaders want to keep you numb so the pain won't be so deep. But if we, the people, let them continue, another mother will weep. Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep?
First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. If you would like to keep your voice on the air, and you feel this show is important, please contribute now. Go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com. That's CindySheehansSoapbox.com. The phone is 562-912-5860. That number again is 562-912-5860. Please help us keep this show on the air. Your generous contribution is appreciated.
Hi, this is Seth Fowler with One Struggle, One Fight. From March 25th to 29th, queers and allies are marching from Richmond to Sacramento. That's right, we're walking all the way to Sacramento. We are marching for same-sex marriage, health care for all, economic justice, gender equality, and racial equality. The march was initiated by One Struggle, One Fight in the aftermath of Proposition 8. Our goal is to build bridges to other communities and movements for justice. We are gay, straight, bisexual, HIV positive, intersex, transgendered, and gender nonconformers. We are secular and people of faith. The March to Sacramento will kick off with festivities in Richmond the evening of March 24th, and we will begin walking the next morning. We will stay in communities along the way and join with them to celebrate our diversity. We will arrive in Sacramento on March 29th and make our voices heard with a day of action. Walk the entire way with us or meet us along the route. Support us in whatever way you can. Join us in the streets as we stamp our message into the earth. Sign up today at onestruggleonefight.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. As always, you can contact me at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox.com. As promised before the break, we have a very special guest and a very special topic today. We'll be chatting with a former district attorney, assistant district attorney, Vince Bugliosi, in Los Angeles. He's most famous, I think, for prosecuting the Manson family, a crime that happened when I was living in Los Angeles County. I was about 10 years old, I think, when it happened, and it was very frightening. But Vince wrote probably the best-selling book of true crime of all time and co-wrote Helter Skelter, which also became a movie. Vince right now has written something that people who are very concerned about holding George Bush and Dick Cheney accountable have really latched onto and are very excited about. He has written The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. I've spoken to Vince about that since my son was murdered. My son Casey was murdered by George Bush's crime family and George Bush's illegal and immoral war in Iraq. So we have talked about it as something that I'm very interested in holding them accountable, however way we can do that. So Vince is on the line, and Vince, I'd like to welcome you to my show.
Cindy, thank you so much for having me on the show, and congratulations for your new radio show. I'm proud of you. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. We're really picking up steam. It's, I think, the most progressive, radical show on the air, so a lot of people are looking for that voice and looking to hear positions that aren't in the mainstream lately. And certainly the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder is something that is not currently in the mainstream. Now, when we chatted before about your book, of course, you've written bestsellers, New York Times, number one, sold millions of copies of books, but you had a hard time getting this one published, but you also had a hard time getting interviews on shows that had interviewed you before.
Yeah, for the first time in my career, Cindy, I had a very difficult time getting this book published. I had to fly back to New York, knock on doors. I was turned down by the major publishers. And in the past, I never even gave a thought to getting the book published because I always had that opportunity. This time it was tough, and they said words to me, things to the effect, "Mr. Bugliosi, are you sure you want to publish this book?" One of them said out black and white, "Too hot to handle." But I finally found a courageous publisher, Vanguard Press. I got the book published. In audio, that's an automatic for all my books. This book, I got a call from my agent saying, "Vince, I can't find any audio company in America that will do the audio on the book." Finally get the British Broadcasting Company to do the audio. I have a documentary now, Cindy, coming out on the book probably in about 4 or 5 months. And the producers couldn't raise one penny here in America. The money had to come in from Canada. But about being blacked out, for all my other books, I'd fly back to New York City, and I'd start out on national TV, either network or cable. This time, I was completely blacked out. I didn't go back to New York City, and my publicist back there said she had been in the business for over 30 years. She had never seen a book blacked out like this. To this day, the book has not been reviewed for the first time in my career by any major newspaper in America. It got so bad, Cindy, that ABC Radio actually refused to take money from my publisher to take out a radio spot. So
wow.
This is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, but the mainstream had no taste for this. I will say this about the New York Times. The New York Times did do a major article on the book. It was not a review, and it was not about the contents of the book, but it was about the blackout. They wrote a big article on the blackout, and they said they were puzzled that the book had become a New York Times bestseller when it was blacked out. And, of course, it became a bestseller because of word of mouth and people like you, Cindy, right now, who are having me on the show. But it doesn't speak very well of America that someone like George Bush could take the nation to war under false pretenses, and over 4,000 young American soldiers died as a result of the war. and the media doesn't even want to talk about it.
Well, it's just part of the mainstream media, they're part of the establishment.
Right.
I think many times they're just propaganda arms or tools of the government. I don't know if it's the chicken and the egg, if
right.
the government controls the media or the media controls the government. I had the same experience when I published my book, Peace Mom. Simon & Schuster published it, and CBS owned Simon & Schuster, and I had so many interviews like on the Today Show and other really big shows that canceled the day my book came out. So
oh,
I think it's just part of the status quo, is supporting the status quo. Well, I'm very active on Facebook. I know you don't know what that is because you don't really go on the computer.
Yeah, I don't. I've heard of Facebook, and these names keep coming to my attention.
Yeah.
First, I heard website, then I heard blog. Now
right.
it's Facebook, so I don't really keep up with it. I don't have a computer.
Yeah, you write your books in longhand, which is really incredible to me. But a lot of my Facebook friends, I have about 4,000 Facebook friends. They're young people mostly. There's a couple of geezers like me, but they're mostly young people who are very politically aware, and I'm, you know, just really amazed at their astuteness. But they had a lot of questions that they wanted to ask you. I think the first question that would be on everybody's mind, though, is what exactly is your plan to prosecute George W. Bush for murder? Just, you know, in terms that the average person listening to my show that doesn't have a law degree, and your books are very, very clear. They're very easy to read and very understandable. So if you can just, like, tell my listeners what that plan is.
Well, the book, you've read the book, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
The book talks about many legal complexities that would be involved in the prosecution of George Bush, and it would take way too long on a show of this time limit to discuss all of them. But let me talk about the main legal issue that would be involved in any prosecution of George Bush that would transcend all of the other legal issues. The main legal issue is whether or not George Bush took this nation to war in self-defense, his so-called preemptive strike.
Right.
He claimed that Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, therefore he was an imminent threat to security of this country, so Bush had to strike first in self-defense. If at a trial of Bush, he was able to show, the evidence showed, that the killings of American soldiers actually that resulted from a war that was in self-defense, then these killings of American soldiers would be what they call justifiable homicide. However, if the prosecutor could show that he did not take this nation to war in self-defense, but under false pretenses, on a lie, then all of the killings of American soldiers in Iraq would be unlawful killings and therefore under the law murder. Now, as recently as about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if do you know the fellow's name, Bob Alexander up in Seattle? Are you aware of him?
Yes, and that was another question about how his he has a campaign to get a copy of your book in the hand of every district attorney in America, right?
Right. Every district attorney in America who lost soldiers from their county. Now, there's 2,700 DAs in America, but there's about 2,200, Bob found out, that lost soldiers from from their county.
Right.
So within the past 2 weeks, he sent out 2,200 copies of the book to 2,200 DAs all over the country with a cover letter from me, asking them to read the book, and if they agree the evidence of Bush's guilt is clear and that there's jurisdiction to proceed against Bush criminally, and I offered my services in any way that the DA would see fit. That would include being appointed a special prosecutor or simply just a special consultant. And Alexander and I feel, maybe unreasonably, but I don't think it's unreasonable, that there should at least be one prosecutor out there out of the 2,200 who has sufficient courage to step forward and say, hey, you know, this is the United States of America. In America, no man's above the law. The evidence of Bush's guilt is clear, and I'm going to proceed against him. The main obstacle that I have to overcome is a very perceptive observation made by Mark Twain, and he said, why, this is not exactly a paraphrase, it's almost an exact quote, he says, why is physical courage so common but moral courage so very rare?
Right.
But I hope and certainly have confidence that at least one prosecutor out there we'll have the courage to step forward. We have to bring about justice for you and your son Casey and the thousands of other young men who died in the war. And we can only do this by bringing George Bush to justice. Now, as far as the evidence against Bush, if you want me to get into that or touch on it, we can. But that's the basic case against him. Did he or did he not take this nation to war and self-defense?
Thank you. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox on Green 960. We're speaking to Vince Bugliosi about prosecuting George Bush for murder. Have you had any bites from any district attorneys around the country?
I've talked to one DA so far. The book's just went out.
Mm-hmm.
And this DA, I'm not going to give you his name. I'm not having anyone give his name out. Because
he would
he'd be inundated by the world press, and he has not said definitely he's going to do it yet, but he's very interested. In fact, he called me. I have my phone number in that cover letter, and he's very interested. And the first question we had to resolve is whether the county in which he's the DA lost any soldiers in the war. We determined that two of them, two soldiers from his county, died in the war. So that's all I've heard from so far, but you have to realize the book was just sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I were a DA and I got a book like mine with a cover letter, I wouldn't get back to the person right away either. This, if it goes forward, is going to be the biggest, most important murder case in American history. And I think any DA getting the book is going to have to read the book or have someone in his office read the book, check out all of my citations. This is a very important thing. So I don't expect to hear from anyone that soon, but I did hear from one DA so far.
Well, and your book has been out for many months now.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there is, you know, quite a push from people to get it out there and get a DA to actually press charges. And you don't have to have one of the families cooperate to press charges. That's up to the district attorney in a murder case, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even if the murder did not occur in...
I'm sorry?
Even if the murder did not occur in his county?
Well, I'm sorry. The murder would have to occur in the county that the DA is the district attorney of, right?
But,
if it occurred outside the county, he would not have jurisdiction.
Well, the murders are all occurring in Iraq.
You mean if the murder? I'm sorry. I got confused here. I thought you meant the parents would be from would have to be from a different or the same county.
Right. Parents wife or husband or, you know, whoever was the next of kin.
That would help, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary that the parent of a victim go to the DA. That would be very helpful from a PR standpoint. But even if a particular parent did not want there to be a prosecution, the DA could go ahead. I mean, if there's a robbery, for instance, and the victim, for whatever reason, maybe out of fear, tells the DA, I don't want to testify against this person, the DA could prosecute because it's the plaintiff in a criminal case, as opposed to a civil case, is the people of the state, like the people of the state of California. In a civil case, it's the victim, A versus B. But as far as the crime occurring, yes, outside the county, absolutely. The basic rule is that a DA or a state attorney general only has jurisdiction to prosecute for crimes committed within his state or county. However, there's a well-recognized exception to that rule, and it's called the effects, EFFECTS doctrine,
mm-hmm.
which provides that if a crime is committed outside the jurisdiction, and here it would be Iraq, however, it has a very injurious, harmful effect to the people of that county or state, then that county or state has jurisdiction to prosecute. And in my book, I cite many cases on a state and federal level that allow a prosecution, even though the crime took place outside the state or county.
What about like state attorneys general? I think every state in this country has lost at least one soldier. Would a state attorney general have jurisdiction?
A state attorney general would have jurisdiction, and I did send out the books to them earlier, and I only got a response from one. And that person did not go forward on it. As it turned out, that particular state, Connecticut, the state attorney general did not have jurisdiction in criminal cases in that state. There was another agency, a state agency, that had jurisdiction in criminal matters. They only had jurisdiction in civil matters. But most states' attorney generals have jurisdiction in criminal matters, but they normally do not prosecute cases. They can. They have the power and jurisdiction, but they normally only prosecute cases when there's a conflict of interest at the DA level or a particular DA is in a county that doesn't have sufficient resources to go forward. But I'm at the level now where they do prosecute for murder cases. That's what the DA does at the local level.
Well, let's tell that to Jerry Brown, who brought up the case of the San Francisco 8, like decades after the crime happened, to re-prosecute these old men who used to be Black Panthers. If anybody, you know, California's lost many soldiers, and if, you know, you're listening to my show and you live in California, I think putting pressure on Jerry Brown might not be such a bad idea. But I have talked to somebody that we both know, Bruce Fine. He's a
right.
He was in, I believe it was Nixon's Judiciary Department,
right,
or whatever they call it.
Yep. And Department of Justice.
Yeah, Department of Justice. And right. He has told me that he believes that only a federal prosecutor would have the jurisdiction to bring George Bush and Dick Cheney. And that's another question that my Facebook friends have. Would you advocate also for the prosecution of Dick Cheney? And
You're asking several questions here. I'm trying to write them down. You got Cheney. You got federal.
Yeah. Would a federal prosecutor only have jurisdiction, and if you did find someone to prosecute, would Dick Cheney also be somebody that we could look at to prosecute?
Well, as I point out in my book, there's no question that Bush did not act alone here, and
it's a conspiracy.
Pardon?
Oh, yeah.
Automatically, he conspired at least with Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice. And if there's a grand jury investigation, it may turn out that people like Rumsfeld were involved. I think Rove is probably up over his head in this, and he'd be a co-prosecutor and therefore would also be prosecuted if the evidence showed it. Powell, my sense of him, and of course the evidence might show otherwise, is that his only sin was weakness. But very definitely, Cheney and Rice automatically would be co-conspirators with Bush. As far as the federal prosecution, I'm surprised that Fine is saying that now, because originally he told me that no one had jurisdiction to prosecute Bush, that Bush had immunity from prosecution.
Right.
And then he gave me a case, because I asked him, I said, really, Bruce? I said, "This is where do you get this?" So he gives me this case, Nixon versus Fitzgerald, 457 U.S. 731. And I checked it out. I had already heard of the case. And the Fitzgerald case only holds that a president has immunity from civil lawsuits, not criminal prosecution.
Well, right.
So Fine's first position was that I was wrong, that presidents have immunity from criminal prosecution. I can say, in all due respect to Bruce Fine, that he is wrong, and several prominent constitutional scholars have endorsed the conclusion of my book that Bush can be prosecuted for murder in an American courtroom, state or federal, for the deaths of American soldiers in the Iraq War. Now we get into another matter here. When you're
Vince,
talking
I'm going to have to. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll get right back into that as soon as we come back from the break. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Our topic today is prosecuting George W. Bush for murder. I would like to, I probably couldn't be on that jury because I'm a little bit biased, but I definitely would like to be involved in something that held George Bush accountable. So stay tuned to this very fascinating conversation. We'll be right back after the break. This is Green 960 online and on radio.
The underwriter of today's show is Oakland's Grand Lake Theater. This spectacular vintage movie palace is one of the last independent theaters in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake has been the venue for countless live political events during the last 8 years in constant opposition to the Bush administration and is famous for its politically charged marquee messages. It will be hosting several very special events in support of Cindy's Soapbox during the next few months.
If you have never been to the Grand Lake, please patronize this beautiful theater and see a film there soon. If you have visited there before, please come back again. It is important to choose to support a unique theater like this instead of the soulless multiplex. The Grand Lake never shows commercials before the movie, and fresh popcorn with real butter is free every Monday through Thursday. On Friday and Saturday nights, the mighty Wurlitzer organ is played in the main auditorium. Schedule information can be found at GrandLakeTheater.com. That's GrandLakeTheater.com.
First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. If you would like to keep your voice on the air, and you feel this show is important, please contribute now. Go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com. That's CindySheehansSoapbox.com. The phone is 562-912-5860. That number again is 562-912-5860. Please help us keep this show on the air. Your generous contribution is appreciated.
Hi, this is Scott Cuddy, owner of Digital Media Production. You know, after 30 years or so in the media business, I've learned to keep up on the latest programming as well as the latest equipment and trends in the business. And nowadays, business and show hosts alike are choosing the internet and podcasting as an effective means of getting their message out to a mass audience. Here at Digital Media Production Company, I'm prepared to help your company or you and your personal enterprise jump through all those technical as well as marketing hoops in order to realize your goals. Whether you want to produce an audio or video podcast spotlighting your business, big or small, or become the host of your own radio show, I can help you get there without breaking your budget. So give me a call today at 805-403-4265. I'll share some of my successes with you and let you know how you can be successful. Or email me at dmpc63@msn.com. Located in San Francisco and available worldwide on ISDN. That's Digital Media Production Company, 805-403-4265. Or send me an email today at dmpc63@msn.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your hostess, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening to this fascinating conversation that we're having with Vince Bugliosi about prosecuting George W. Bush for murder. We have established that state and local DAs have jurisdiction over prosecuting George Bush for murder. We are trying to get one of those district attorneys to step forward. Before the break, Vince, you talked about moral courage and physical courage. You have exhibited both of those in the many prosecutions that you handled as assistant district attorney in Los Angeles. The most, I think, famous one was prosecuting and convicting Charles Manson because he wasn't actually present at the crimes. It was mostly on conspiracy with his family, and many of those many people who committed those crimes were convicted. And that showed great moral and physical courage on your part to do that. Now, we talked about Mark Twain. Mark Twain has also said that there's only one distinct criminal class in America, and that's Congress. And the last time when I met you in person, it was in Congress. It was at a congressional hearing. It was a non-impeachment hearing. And you testified, Bruce Fein, whom we spoke about earlier, testified, some other people testified. But I was at that hearing. I traveled to Washington, D.C. just to go to that hearing.
Right.
And John Conyers and I, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee who convened the hearing, have a long
adversarial relationship over impeachment. I've been arrested in his office.
Right.
We've had people sign millions of signatures to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. But at that hearing, you actually were the only one to speak out for the soldiers and for their families and to seek justice. You know, I believe that millions of people, their souls are crying out from the grave for justice because of George Bush and Dick Cheney. And not just because of George Bush and Dick Cheney, but Nixon was never held accountable. Other war criminals in our history were never held accountable. And it would keep in this unending cycle of war and murder and mothers, you know, and other loved ones, you know, just devastated because of this. And I actually got kicked out of the hearing because I said, thank you, Vince.
Yeah, I had said, how dare they? How dare they take the nation wonderful? And you got up and you said, thank you, Vince, and they escorted you out. It's incredible.
I know. But we have many avenues constitutionally that should be used to to punish.
Right.
And when I say punish, I'm not seeking any revenge. I'm seeking justice. Mm-hmm. And you seek justice, too. And, you know, some people, we don't agree with 100% on everything. But
right.
You come from a principled place that is seeking justice. And I really respect that. And many people are really excited about Senator Patrick Leahy proposing this Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which I think is just a way to avoid holding George Bush and Dick Cheney accountable.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that at all because he said the things he's interested in is the Justice Department's support for warrantless surveillance, coercive interrogation techniques, and the politicization of the hirings and firings of prosecutors. Those are all good things, but
right.
What about murder? What
right.
about murder? What about the over 100,000, and that's a very conservative estimate, some people say it's over 1 million. People have died as a result of Bush's war, not just the 4,200 American soldiers, but well
right.
over 100,000 innocent Iraqi men, women, children, and babies who have died horrible deaths. And Leahy's talking about everything but murder.
Hundreds of thousands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is over 1 million. I have seen the research on that. I know
right.
conservative. I know you want to stay conservative. But
right.
even if it's 100,000, that's
yeah.
a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. They're in their cold graves right now
Dreadful.
As we're talking. I'd like to, in the remaining time we have, talk about President Obama here because I really think that this is something that has to be addressed. And I have to say, you know, I voted for him, but I'm disappointed in his apparent position, Cindy, with respect to not having his Department of Justice conduct a criminal investigation of Bush and his administration.
Right.
He said on January 11th on a national show, I think it was Stephanopoulos' show, quote, "We need to look forward as opposed to looking backwards," unquote. And
right.
virtually everyone, and I agree, has taken this to mean he intends to give Bush a free pass simply because whatever crime Bush may have committed, it was in the past. Here's a headline, the caption to the article on this in the New York Times, January 12th, "Obama signals his reluctance to investigate Bush." But
well,
you see,
aren't all crimes inherently in the past?
Of course.
You
yeah,
commit
you
a crime,
the
and
yeah.
and then you
right.
are, if you are caught, you're prosecuted for that crime. So we
Absolutely.
Were talking before, what if Charles Manson had come to you and said, let's just look forward, Mr. Bugliosi, let's look forward and let's try and do things right next time, because that's what he said.
Yeah.
Obama has said that.
Yeah, or the Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg saying, come on, that's in the past. Let's get on with our lives. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. By definition, and you hit the nail on the head, all criminal prosecutions have to deal with past criminal behavior.
You can't prosecute somebody for a future crime. That is actually against all kinds of law to
of
do that,
so
right?
If we prosecute for even petty theft in America in the past, what do we do with Bush, who took this nation to war under false pretenses and has caused incalculable death, horror, and suffering? The terrible reality, and you heard me say this to Conyers Commission, you were there, is that George Bush and his people have gotten away with thousands upon thousands of murders, and we, the American people, cannot let them do this, but at this point they are. I do want to say this about Obama's emphasis on the future. Let's assume that that's where the emphasis should be and try to use his words to defeat his position. I don't think anything could improve our image around the world more, restore our credibility more, than prosecuting George Bush for his monumental crimes,
Cindy.
Oh, I
agree with you.
Because we would be telling the world's people that what George Bush did in taking this nation to war on a lie against a sovereign nation, Iraq, without any provocation at all, was not the real America, only Bush's America. The real America would never do something like this. That in the real America, no man is so high as above the law, and even presidents have to be accountable, as you said, Cindy, for their crimes. Again, talking about the future, if we want to deter future presidents from taking this nation to another war under false pretenses, I would think that that deterrence would increase immeasurably if they knew, these future presidents, what happened to George Bush, that he ended up serving a life sentence or ended up on death row. So even using Obama's emphasis on the future, Bush has got to be prosecuted.
Well, when Obama was a senator and he was running for the Democratic nomination,
right,
he actually said, and I believe this was in the Chicago
Tribune,
he said that somebody asked him about impeachment. Would you be in favor of impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney? And he said, no, because impeachment is only reserved for grave offenses. Now, Obama is a constitutional attorney.
Right.
And what is more grave than, like you have said, sending millions, hundreds of thousands of people to their graves? What is more grave than that? Based on lies. And, you know, we could get into, you know, long discussions about what's justifiable homicide and what's non-justifiable homicide.
Right.
But it's been proven over and over again that George Bush and Dick Cheney took this nation to war based on lies. And
and I presented much of that evidence to Congress. I had the documents
Congress knows.
Try to shut me down. You know about that.
Yeah, Conyers knows the evidence. Conyers wrote a book called The Impeachment of George W. Bush. And it's so important, like you said, not only to enhance our reputation in the world, but to restore this country back to the rule of law.
Right. Absolutely. But since it appears, Cindy, that Obama is not going to do anything to Bush, at least it appears that way, and the ICC, that's the International Criminal Court at The Hague, has no jurisdiction over Bush.
Because we withdrew from the International Criminal Court at The Hague.
Conveniently enough.
You're listening to Green 960, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. We're talking to Vince Bugliosi.
The only game in town, it appears, because the ICC has no jurisdiction and Obama's not going to do anything, is what took place in Seattle, as I say, a week and a half or two ago, when Alexander sent these copies of the book to 2,200 DAs around the country. I don't know if there's any other game in town open if we're going to bring George Bush to justice.
Do you know a website that my listeners can access
Alexander's
work, or should they just Google
It's the prosecutionofbush.com. His name is Bob Alexander. He's a regular citizen, but an American patriot, and he's dedicated himself now to helping me bring George Bush to justice. But I would look under Bob Alexander or the prosecutionofbush.com. He raised over $15,000 on his website to buy the book, to send it out to these people, these DAs around the country, and my publisher helped out by selling the book to Bob for $3 and some cents a copy.
Great.
So it's just amazing. And he got about 20 volunteers up there to pack the book and to send it out, and they videotaped everything. It's quite a human interest story.
And this is also a very action-oriented radio show. I always give my listeners actions that they can do over the course of the hour, but I would encourage them all to contact their county and the district attorney of their county. And first of all, I would say feel them out on how they would feel about, first, there has to be a soldier that was killed in that county, but feel them out about how they would feel about prosecuting George W. Bush for murder. And then just being strong advocates, you can start your own advocacy group in your county to pressure your district attorney to do this. There's just so many things we can do. I am a historian. You graduated from law school at UCLA.
Yes.
I went to UCLA. I was a history major. And I am going to go to law school, too. I'm investigating that. I'm going to study law because I really want to hold these guys accountable. And if I have to work within that system, that's the system I'm going to do. But we can't keep on on ignoring history.
Right.
We have to be able to learn from it, and then we can move forward. We can't move forward, in my opinion, if there's no justice.
Right.
If there's no justice, it inhibits progress, like you said. It would inhibit Obama from carrying out his platform of transparency, of raising the status of America around the world, of curing this economy. I think the future success of America hinges on holding George Bush and Dick Cheney accountable. And I don't think I'm being very hyperbolic about this.
I think it's very urgent.
In
fact, for the first time in American history, after we invaded Iraq without any justification, for the first time in American history, polls showed that the majority of civilized people around the world, from civilized nations, I'm talking about industrial nations,
right,
the Western world, for the first time, they had a negative opinion of the United States. So if we want America to be the great nation it once was, widely respected around the world, I agree with you, we can hardly do this if we don't take the first step of bringing George Bush to justice.
Well, and then, of course, I ran up here for Congress in San Francisco. I ran as declined estate.
Yes.
I'm not a member of any political party.
Right.
But I am, I think, a member of what we would call the political left in America.
Yes.
And, you know, I believe that the resistance to holding presidents accountable is because the current person who inhabits or, you know, sometimes infects the Oval Office wants to keep these powers that the presidents have accumulated along the way, and is afraid that if you hold a prior or former president accountable, then, you know, you have to keep looking over at your shoulder at the people, because the people are going to also hold you accountable.
Right. Well, I always felt from the very beginning that although the ideal place to prosecute Bush would be the Attorney General's office in Washington, D.C., that was unlikely because the AG is a highly politicized office. So I always felt that if it happened, it was going to happen at a local level. I want to say, Cindy, I'm proud of you. You're extremely intelligent. And the unfortunate thing is that out of the thousands and thousands of parents whose children lost their lives fighting George Bush's war in Iraq, there haven't been more like you to publicly stand up to Bush and denounce him for his monumental crime. But I applaud you for what you've done.
Well, and you also, Vince, you said that Bob Alexander is just a citizen, a patriot.
Yeah.
But you also, you're retired. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to do this. You could rest on your laurels, which are considerable. But like I said, you really respect the law, and you have this burning desire, as I do, for justice and to get justice for the people who are wrongly dead. They were wrongfully murdered.
Oh yeah.
In my opinion.
I don't like to see anyone get away with murder, Cindy, even one murder. Simpson got away with two murders, and I was so upset I wrote a book, Outrage, The 5 Reasons Why O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder, shot up to number one on the New York Times hardcover bestseller list. So you can imagine now the way I feel about Bush. I may not succeed, Cindy, and it may sound presumptuous on my part, but I can tell you that I'm not going to be satisfied until I see Bush in an American courtroom being prosecuted for first-degree murder.
You and me both, Vince, and hopefully we can continue the struggle and get more people involved in it. This is our country, this is our republic, and we need to reclaim our rights, and not only our rights, but our responsibilities as citizens. So I want to thank you again for being on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and hopefully we'll have some progress on these cases, and you can come back again soon, and we can fill my listeners in on what's happening on the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Real pleasure appearing on your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Vince. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We've been talking to Vince Bugliosi. We'll be right back after this break.
The underwriter of today's show is Oakland's Grand Lake Theater. This spectacular vintage movie palace is one of the last independent theaters in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake never shows commercials before the movie, and fresh popcorn with real butter is free every Monday through Thursday. On Friday and Saturday nights, a mighty Wurlitzer organ is played in the main auditorium. Schedule information can be found at GrandLakeTheater.com. That's GrandLakeTheater.com.
Have you ever picked up something you found on the sidewalk or saved your neighbor from throwing away something useful? As a community, we have many more resources than we do as individuals. If we share our resources, we won't need to buy as many new ones. We all have skills, smiles, ideas, and songs, as well as things like books, clothes, cookware, and food. Let's bring them all together at the Really, Really Free Market. The Really, Really Free Market is like a potluck for whatever you want to give or take away. Everybody brings something and leaves with more. The Really, Really Free Market is a 100% free and non-commercial event. In these difficult economic times, let's not forget the joy of giving for the sake of giving. This month's Really, Really Free Market will be held in San Francisco at Submission Art Space, 2183 Mission Street, on Saturday, February 28th, from 1 till 5 p.m., and next month in the Bayview at India Basin Park, Saturday, March 14th, from noon till 4 p.m. For more information and future locations, please go to www.reallyreallyfree.org.
Hi, this is Seth Fowler with One Struggle, One Fight. From March 25th to 29th, Queers and Allies are marching from Richmond to Sacramento. That's right, we're walking all the way to Sacramento. We are marching for same-sex marriage, health care for all, economic justice, gender equality, and racial equality. The march was initiated by One Struggle, One Fight in the aftermath of Proposition 8. Our goal is to build bridges to other communities and movements for justice. We are gay, straight, bisexual, HIV positive, intersex, transgendered, and gender nonconformers. We are secular and people of faith. The March to Sacramento will kick off with festivities in Richmond the evening of March 24th, and we will begin walking the next morning. We will stay in communities along the way and join with them to celebrate our diversity. We will arrive in Sacramento on March 29th and make our voices heard with a day of action. Walk the entire way with us or meet us along the route. Support us in whatever way you can. Join us in the streets as we stamp our message into the earth. Sign up today at onestruggleonefight.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here on Green 960. As always, you can contact me at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox. If you have a question about the show, if you have a question about anything, or if you would like to submit your own rant, this is a part of the show where I do my soapbox rant called Are You Effing Kidding Me? Last week, Senator Patrick Leahy proposed a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to investigate the Bush regime. I'm going to let constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley answer this one for me in a rant that he did on Keith Olbermann's show right after Senator Leahy proposed the commission. Here's Jonathan.
Why model a commission for preventing future executive branch abuses on a commission that failed to prevent the very executive branch abuses you're looking to prevent again?
Well, you know, it's incredible because truth commissions are generally have been used by emerging democracies, often third world countries, countries that have nascent legal systems, countries that are trying to create new governments. They're not associated with a government that's supposedly the leader of the rule of law. We don't have any question about the obligation to follow these treaties. There's no question that torture occurred here. There's no question it was a war crime. And so the only reason to have a commission of this kind is to avoid doing what we're obligated to do under a treaty. And the fact is that these members of Congress view this as a very inconvenient time to fight on principle. But they would do us all a favor if they just save the money on another useless commission. They just take the old 9/11 commission report, rip off the cover, and put a new cover on, and call it a day. Because it is shameful that we would be calling for this type of commission. Everyone knows what we're doing. We're in violation of our obligations now. We were supposed to investigate. It's not up to President Obama. It's not up to Senator Leahy. We're obligated to investigate. This whole discussion in front of the whole world is basically saying that we are not going to comply with the promise we made, not to ourselves, but to the world.
Also, whether you're basing it on the church model or the South African model, they elevated these crimes that they are selected to address above regular law and order, or certainly distinguished them from regular law and order. Regardless of what they might find and however valuable that might be for a historical record, does not using a special forum inherently validate the Bush claim that the regular rules did not apply to his presidency because of the exigent circumstances?
It absolutely does. I mean, we need to be honest. There is great love for President Obama, and I have great respect for him. But you cannot say that you believe that no one is above the law, and block the investigation of the war crimes by your predecessor. It is a position without principle. It is because you believe it's politically inconvenient. And by simply saying that you will do a special commission is like saying you have special justice. But at the end of the day, no one believes that people will be prosecuted for a known war crime. And when we do that, then we will become accessories. Those crimes from President Bush will become our crimes. His shame will become our collective shame. That's what happens when you protect someone accused of war crimes from even an investigation.
Is fear of Republican blowback in the future a valid reason to refrain from prosecuting, or do Democrats to some degree risk incentivizing Republicans to threaten to that blowback or other kinds of it even more and more?
Well, the Democrats are going to have to decide whether they want to detach themselves from principle, start their control of this government with an act of the most unprincipled sort. One of the treaties that we signed and helped write says there are no excuses and no defenses for ordering torture. We helped write those rules, and we are about to break them. So yes, there might be a backlash. The Republican Party may want to be the party that embraces torture and fights from being held accountable under treaties that we signed and promised the world. The question are for members of both parties whether this is the matter that they want to lose that degree of principle. And you know, this is the time, and it comes in every career, when you have to decide whether you are a statesman or just one more politician looking for the next election.
Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, and speaking, I think, from the pages of our history books. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Keith.
I agree with Professor Turley 100%, except for the part at the end when he said that the Democrats would have to, quote, detach themselves from principles, end quote, if the commission replaces criminal action. Are you effing kidding me, Professor Turley? Just when did the Democrats, especially under the misrule of Pelosi and Reid, attach themselves to principle? Nancy Pelosi was briefed on torture and warrantless wiretapping years before we found out about them, and under her leadership, the Bankster Bailout and the FISA Modernization Act were passed. Pelosi and Reid did everything they could to prop up a murderous and corrupt Bush presidency. In my opinion, they would have to be the first ones hauled into their own commission. Our Ask Cindy question today comes from Andrew Temple in Dallastown, Pennsylvania. See how far the soapbox is reaching? But Andrew asks, does a stimulus bill really contain $30 million to save an endangered rat species in Nancy Pelosi's home district? I smell a rat. Well, Andrew, even though the process that put together this stimulus bill was not as transparent as the new president said it would be, it appears that this claim is an urban legend that was started by a lowly GOP staffer. However, it wouldn't be the first time that the House Speaker got ridiculous pork money if it were true. So our show's almost over for this week, except for your soapbox action. I sent a letter to President Obama about my concerns about the flag draped coffins, which I read during this show. You can contact the president, and I urge you to contact the president. He says that he wants to be contacted by his constituents, by we the people. I don't know how much good it will do, but if we don't persistently contact our government about what concerns us, then we are complicit in the inaction or the bad actions of our government. So you can contact President Obama at whitehouse.gov/contact/. So please go there and share your concerns with President Obama. I'd like to thank you again for listening. I appreciate your support. I appreciate that you listen to the show. I'd like to especially thank my guest, Vincent Bugliosi, for the fabulous interview we had. And once again, I'd like to thank Scott Cuddy, my engineer, as always, and Green 960 for letting me do the show. Please go to my website, CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Email me at Cindy@CindySheehanSoapbox.com. And remember, this is Cindy Sheehan, always speaking truth to power.